We're going to listen to a conversation now that Ciarán Murray had with Declan McLaughlin. And Declan was one of the first people on the CE scheme here in Near FM. And this is all to do with Near FM's 25th years in on air. So here we go.
I'm talking to Declan McLaughlin, and Declan was here 25 years ago at the very beginning. Declan was here on a CE scheme and later as assistant manager. Declan, thanks very much for joining me.
Hi, Ciarán. Good to be here. Thanks for asking me to reminisce about the early days of Near FM.
Yeah. So let me ask you firstly, what do you remember about your first day, about the first time coming into Near FM?
Yeah, I was I wasn't long out of college, and I'd gone up to the local FOSS office in Northside Shopping Centre to sign on. This was before the Celtic Tiger had got into gear, so there was a lot of unemployment at the time, and there was so much unemployment that even if you had a college degree, you could get on a CE scheme. So that's how much the government wanted to get people into employment or off the register, depending on your perspective on these things. And I'd met the FOSS officer there, and he said, what am I interested in? He said, journalism. And then probably about a week later, he said, okay, there's a new scheme being set up in Near FM. And sure, it wasn't very long afterwards that I was in the office. I remember distinctly, it was in the old building over near Bonnybrook, not far from the new building, admittedly. And the studios was up, I think, two flights of stairs. And then when I went into the studio, it was more or less empty. There was no radio station in Near FM when I started there in August. It was all part of the preparations. So the studios had to be fit out. So there was a big room. I think the partitions were in, but there was no equipment, if I remember correctly. And the only other person who was working there at the time was Derek Byrne, I think that's his name, who's Jack's son. And so we were the first two staff members there. I can't remember what we were doing for the first month or so. I'm sure it was very important, useful.
Were you reading a lot?
I was probably, no doubt, Jack gave me one of his books to read. He hadn't as many books as he did now, but he had his very well-known book on community breaking books on that. I still remember it was A5, and I think it might have had a kind of a pinkish cover. I can't remember what it was called now. But certainly, yeah, he gave me that book and really tried to give me a sense of what it meant to run a radio station, because that book, as far as I remember, was also a good guide on how to run a radio station. So they were certainly my recollections. And there was also a lot of, like, as you know, Near FM was around for a good number of years prior to that as a pirate radio station. So there would have been volunteers who were on the board or who used to be involved. They were in and out the door all the time. So it was, even though the studio wasn't there and the station wasn't there, it was still a fairly lively and bustling environment. And it got busier then as more CE staff came on board and as more volunteers became involved.
Who do you remember in particular? Who was who were the main people who were about when you were there?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There was a lot of people involved. The people that come to mind, obviously, are those who I worked on the CE scheme. So Andrew Phelan, who worked there, Sinead Spain was also there. I remember them. Derek Byrne, Sandra Dwyer, and a good few others whose names have been lost to the mist of time. I would require a lot of effort to remember them. And I'm sure if you said their names, I'd know them straight away. So, and then some of the other people who I'd remember would be Sinead Spain, who worked on the scheme. And she's now in RTE, and Sinead Crowley, who was working for the Northside People at the time, and she used to do reports, and she's also moved on to RTE. And then some others there's loads of people I remember. Holly Maguire, Margaret Tumulty, of course, who was the first manager before you started. There was also Spiff, Jeff Parnell, as he's more regularly known, and Louis Larouski. I can't remember what Louis's actual name is. And another guy I remember quite well was Pat McMello, who used to do a music show. So, and there was Joe, and there was Lucy, and there was Austin, and there was Michael Farrell, and obviously Jack. I could spend the day probably if you start to get going.
Austin is still regularly doing programs. I'm not sure about many. But Pat McMello, I don't remember him. What did he do?
Yeah, he did a kind of a, it was a, how would you describe it? Kind of would have been very much kind of, not quite ambient, not quite dance, sort of mellow, like his name. He was a DJ, and he also did a number of other things. Again, I can't for life remember his actual name. That was
Do you have a sense of the place when you came in that it was trying to be more than just a radio station or something different from a radio station?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, and it won't be an exact quote, but I say to people these days when I'm talking about community radio, says the main thing to remember about a community radio station when you're looking at a license application is that it's not a radio station. If you think a community radio station is a radio station, then you've misunderstood what they're about and you haven't read the AMAR charter or Jack's book or the community radio policy.
So
what I remember very strongly is that, you know, and it still holds with today, any Near FM and any other community radio station is an organization developing the local community using radio. And I think that's still the case in the sector. But I mean, I suppose I say that because that was very, very much part of the culture, which very much brought by Jack Byrne. That would have been his approach, and it would have been the approach of AMARC, and it would have been the approach of a lot of the board members and the volunteers as well.
What did the place look like? To give the listener a sense of what was your desk like? I mean, did you have a computer and a phone at your desk? What was it like?
Yeah, it was, I suppose it looked like an old school 1980s office. So there were, the floor was covered with carpet tiles, which you could pull up individually.
I thought you were going to say cigarette ash or something the floor was covered with.
No, I don't remember very much. I don't think smoking was allowed. I have a recollection at the back window might have had bars or grills on it. There was a notice board. There were some kind of heavy wooden desks. So it very much felt like, strangely enough, it felt like a 1980s civil service office. I don't know whether the furniture was acquired from the civil service or from other places like that. I suppose it was a school originally, if I remember correctly. The building, so it could well have been the office for the school, given where it was away from classrooms. It may well have, that furniture might have been there from God knows when. So I remember that, and it was, you know, sometimes it was cold, but it was cozy though, I must say, and it was lively, and very warm when the place was full.
What was your initial input into programming?
I'm trying to remember now. I think I can't remember my initial input, but I can tell you some of the programs I was involved in. So one of them, my college course I did was a course in theology and philosophy. And one of the programs I used to present was a weekly program called Dialogue, which was focusing on religion in the Northeast. So we'd speak to different people in the community doing different things, whether the Baptists or the Catholics or the Church of Ireland. Indeed, one of the presenters, whose name, Gordon, I think it was the second name, he went on to produce a weekly half-hour program, and I ended up house-sitting for him for about a year when himself and his family went to the US to fundraise. So that was an interesting experience.
You got a house out of it?
I got free rent out of it for about a year. Now, so that was kind of interesting. He was a lovely man, very nice family and good program. Other ones I would have been involved in would have been Bookbound, which would have been a weekly book program, obviously. And then Sound and Vision, which was a weekly a movie review program. I made some good friends out of that that I still know, Barry Casey, Blaise Barron. And obviously I came to know yourself as well. So yeah, it was, they were probably the main ones. And then I would have been, I became the assistant manager, would have been keeping an eye on a lot of programs, either doing the desk or standing in or giving out wherever it was required.
Pass on my regards to Barry and Blaise. I remember them well. They were kind of, great characters to have around at the time. Part of the, initial sense of the place, I think, they brought to it. But
and Blaise went on to work on the board of Anne Olivia, now Dublin City.
Their
license. And Barry actually works with myself here in the Broadcast Authority of Ireland, as it happens.
Okay. Tell me, Declan, just maybe as a nice wrap up one, can you remember any particular incidents? Can you remember any peculiar or funny incidents from that era?
Yeah, the one that I don't know, it's not funny at all in a clear way, but one of the things I do remember is in the very early days, one of the presenters had, and you got to remember, the studio was up two or three flights of stairs. One of the presenters who will remain nameless was very much, you know, getting into the spirit of the community and was very much involved, but he unwittingly or unthinkingly invited representatives from the local Irish Wheelchair Association to participate in a program. And I distinctly remember looking over the top of the stairs and seeing a number of people in wheelchairs who were never getting up to the studio, and being absolutely mortified, because we were a community radio station. This really wasn't a good look. But also, you know, sort of thinking to myself, well, the spirit was there. This is a community radio station. These people were invited in good faith, and eventually we interviewed them in an appropriate manner further down the line. So I remember that.
You didn't have to carry them up the stairs, did you?
No, that would have been highly inappropriate. As you know, it's they have a right as much as anyone to be treated on.
Yeah, and I suppose kind of maybe lessons were learned from stuff that went wrong, and that was eventually remedied.
The other things I remember would have been around, you know, just the growing pains. I think I talked about the different, you know, the different what is a community radio station, and so we would have had a daily news bulletin, which was very, very well put together. But at a certain point, it was decided that, you know, there were daily and hourly news bulletins everywhere, and that wasn't really what Near FM was about, and that was cancelled. I think some people then left as a result, but, you know, I think it was probably the right decision. Indeed, my own film program, I think, was eventually canned because it was just a movie review program, the sort of thing you'd see on any radio station. And I held out as long as I could, Kieran, because I was getting to see free movies. Eventually, the right decision was made.
Yeah, sounds like you're looking to come back and do a more community development version of a movie program.
Well, there we go. As I said to people before, when I retire, I'll be volunteering for community radio if they'll have me back.
I did say just before you go, but maybe just another word before you go. Can you remember much about the social life at the time?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about the CE scheme and the volunteers is just such a wide range of people involved. There was people like me who were just out of college. There were people who had been unemployed for a period of time, were older and wanted to get back into work. There were retired people who were looking to contribute to the community. There were parents who had time freed up. But a lot of us were kind of young, and this was our first job. And I think I remember if we were paid £86 a week or a fortnight. I can't quite remember, but that went a long way in the pub on a Friday night and a Saturday night and a Sunday night.
The Sheaf of Wheat money. Benefited from Near Sheaf FM in those days.
I think we were mainly in the bar with the lounge. So, yeah, the social life was always very good. And the one thing that Near FM got right from the start was there was always a strong social element. And I don't just mean in terms of the staff going out for drinks. I mean, in terms of events for volunteers. I mean, they happened fairly early, and I think that really helped the Christmas party or summer parties or other events like that. I think that really helped kind of gel and let people get to know each other better. And that was always a very strong point, and I think a real great element of this station.
That's great, Declan. Nice to finish up on the social life being the key point of community radio. If I'm paraphrasing,
community and social life, community in the studio, community in the bar.
All right, Declan, Cormila Margot.
Slán.
Okay, slán, lad.